Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of books, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's film, hooray for Hollywood, except none of these films were probably made in Hollywood. Ruben Rosario, exemplary film critic who is now coming to Stonewall Live for his fourth, count it, fourth visit. We've done three Emmy nights, but tonight we're going to be talking about MIFO, the Miami-Fort Lauderdale LGBT Film Festival starting October 9th. Hey, Ruben, what's going on?
Hey, and you better get that right. We were doing Oscar nights, not Emmy nights.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Smash me. Take away my gay card. It was Oscar nights. We've done three Oscar nights. Fabulous. But we're going to do it local. We're all local. We're all about MIFO film tonight. I can't believe I said that. So let me just give a little background on MIFO film, and then we'll get right into the movies. Okay. First of all, you can find everything you want. You can buy your tickets, learn everything you want on MIFOfilm.com, MIFOfilm.com. There are 45 movies. I'm very blessed this year. I was a judge in a couple of categories, and I have now seen 18 of the 45 movies. I am popcorned out. I get to see them at home, which is really nice. We're going to talk about some of them. I'm not going to tell you how I voted, but you're going to tell by how I didn't like a few movies, and we'll talk about that. Anyway, Ruben, what have you seen of the MIFO films that are fabulous? Tell me about them.
So as you may be able to tell from my voice, I'm actually battling a really nasty bug. So I'm actually seeing a lot more serious and grave than I usually am. But I've only seen five so far, but I'm in the process of seeing more. But I've seen five.
Including some of the big ones.
I saw the opening night. The one I liked is the documentary Game Face, which tells two stories. Of two LGBT athletes trying to just navigating the really thorny coming up process. We got college basketball players Terrence Clemens, who plays for Oklahoma University, and we got Fallon Fox, who became the first transgendered pro MMA fighter, all the obstacles she had to face. So it could have been just a really like talking head. Really boring kind of thing, but it's really vital and it just moves and it's really just really well crafted and just very moving. So I was very surprised. I mean, that's the most recent one I've seen and that's my favorite so far.
Right, and I loved it. I thought it was great. As you know, some of you know from being listeners to Stonewall Live, I do train in MMA. I'm the oldest person that's ever competed in a state tournament. And so for me, this was kind of interesting because I compete as an openly gay man, and I've never had any problems. And she never really has. Her problems were, a lot of it was internal, but it's a fabulous story. Both the stories, a young basketball player and the MMA player, beautifully done, beautifully filmed, some of it from the point of view, excellent cinematography. I really loved it. So what else have you seen?
Well, I saw a movie that actually brought me back to my days of doing my grad school in Ohio. I mean, I was a student for 1 year at the University of Akron. So one of the films is the kind of like coming-of-age drama called Akron, which actually takes place, most of it, in Akron. And it's about these two college kids who, they meet up at this mud ball, kind of like a very casual football game, and they start dating. Uh-huh. There's no struggle with coming out. They're both already out. Their families are already accepting. But what they don't know is that they've seen each other before. When they were kids, they saw each other at a supermarket on the day that the mother of one of the kids accidentally ran over the older brother of the other kid. So there's there are these family demons that they both actually have to face and deal with. So it's a neat story. The filmmaking is kind of like on the conventional side, but it's probably a little too self-consciously pretty. If I had like a main objection to the film, it's that it's a little too pretty. But it's they have nice chemistry, and the adults are really good in it, and and it's nice. It's a feel good film. It's nothing earth shaking, but I'm glad that it's showing.
Good. Well, you know, I do want to tell people there are Oriental films. There's a lot of women's films. There's a lot.
Well,
of
it's funny that you mentioned Oriental because one of the films I saw is from Korea, from South Korea.
Right.
It's called Men on High Heels. So it's a neat trend to finally be able to see more East Asian films than in this context.
And the Asian films, even though they're in an infancy, the Asian LGBT films, of course, because it really is not mainstream, and they don't really have a LGBT film festivals in Seoul and Taiwan and places like that. However, they are really good. They're very well done. Music is beautiful. I've noticed that on all of the Asian films. I love Asian music, so the music is very good in that film. It is very, very good. So what else did you like? And then I'll start talking.
Well, the other one I can say I kind of liked was an indie film, a very indie, very naturalistic film by a French director called Etienne Faure. It's working in English. It takes place in Brooklyn. It's called Bizarre. It's a very strange film. It definitely lives up to its title. It's not for everyone. It's a very artsy title shot in this very, you know, in that almost a fake, you know, it's kind of like very naturalistic, lived-in style. It tells the story of this very young French kid who's, you know, it's living in New York. He's trying to fend for himself, and he's taken under the wing of this two women who run a bar where they do burlesque shows. And it basically follows like the story of him meeting the bartender, who's kind of like an effeminate gay man. Very androgynous look, and what I liked about it was that it's shot in this really neat kind of fly on the wall voyeuristic style that I found really interesting. In terms of people wanting something more conventional, look elsewhere, because there's not really a sort of plot.
Right,
it's a very meandering film in both good and bad ways. Didn't like about it is that it ends in this nihilistic, very self-consciously nihilistic note that I don't think it earned. It's a neat film. It's not a bad film. Just for that, it's especially for the more adventurous art house crowd.
By the way, that Bizarre is the U.S. premiere of that movie. There are many premieres of that movie. You can go to mifofilm.com. Go to all the program, you'll get all 45 films. You can buy your tickets there. Let me go over the places where you can see them in Fort Lauderdale. I don't have the places in front of me for Miami, but I'm a Fort Lauderdale guy, so we'll talk Fort Lauderdale. The opening is October the 9th at the NSU Art Museum of Fort Lauderdale, Horowitz Theater. The films are shown at the beautiful Classic Gateway Theater on Sunrise Boulevard at the Big Bend. They have all new seats. Cinema Paradiso, one of my favorite art houses, 503 Southeast 6th Street. And also, the movies are also being shown. Some of the movies are being shown in Miami, of course, at the Colony and all sorts of other places. And so, really, I wanted to go over a couple of movies that I saw, that documentaries, that were excellent. My favorite, well, let's go to my least favorite, okay? My least favorite.
Let's pick up The Knives.
The Knives are coming out. Okay, this movie, I happened to speak to some of the other judges, and it's strictly age-related. If you're a young person, you loved this movie. If you're a young person with a lot of money going to college who has the biggest problem they've ever had, is running out of hair product or not getting a BMW on your 16th birthday, you will.
Don't you hate that when it happens?
I hate it when it's coming out. It actually has gotten a lot of good reviews. I watched it and went, huh? It's about a movie about a young man makes his own movie. He is a very well educated. He's going to Cornell. Young man from a family whose parents are divorced but get along beautifully, who has two incredibly gorgeous parents who are both liberals, who have as two incredibly beautiful, well-educated siblings who are also liberal, and you spend about 94 minutes of angst about his coming out and how scared he is of coming out, and coming out is about as exciting as announcing you're going to Disneyland. Anyway, they made a movie out of this. I don't even know how they found funding. However, it got great reviews, and the younger judges that I've spoken to loved it. I don't know. Am I getting too old?
There's always a generational gap for some movies. You know, that's like a prime example. Yeah. Well, at least that kid, that little spoiled brat, didn't have to sit through Stonewall like I did last week.
Okay, I didn't do that. I'm not going to. I'm just not going to see it. That's not part of the film festival. All right, so one of my favorite movies, Jeffrey Schwartz's husband. By the way, Jeffrey Schwartz is a filmmaker who has done some incredible work. His husband for the last 23 years has been none other than Tab Hunter. And Tab Hunter Confidential, Saturday, October 10th at the Cinema Paradiso. I know it's been out for a while. It came out on limited screens, I believe, a year ago. Is that correct? Or not? Am I right about that? Didn't it come out like... Ruben, are you there?
Festival earlier this year. I am here. I am indeed here.
Okay. It came out, and then but it's doing a film festival thing now. It is beautifully done. There are photographs and interviews. First of all, the man is gorgeous at 85. He is 85 or 83. He's 80. He's
wow.
80 plus years old. He lives on a ranch, jumps up on horses. The man is still a stud. I can say a fucking stud. It's a Tab Hunter Confidential. If you want to see a great documentary made in the classic documentary style. Interviews from friends, interviews from enemies, interviews from people who are no longer alive about Tab Hunter. The whole story with throwing him under the bus and hiding the Rock Hudson coming out and throwing him out is in there, beautifully done. So really, if you get a chance, I strongly recommend Tab Hunter Confidential. It was one of my favorite movies, and we both loved Guy with a Knife. I know that. Go ahead, talk about it first.
Oh no, I haven't seen Guy with a Knife, but everyone seems to love Guy with a Knife. Yeah, that's going to be my next movie. It looks terrific. It really does look terrific.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell people about it just a little bit.
Yeah.
I actually remembered it. It's Bassard, a gentleman in Houston. Was murdered about 28 years ago, walking home from a gay bar. There was a Ray Moore, who is a LGBT activist, who is part of this movie, really got the community to quickly mobilize. He got almost 10,000 people marching on City Hall. This is 28 years ago. To demand the arrest of what was called the Woodlands Ten. The Woodlands is a very wealthy part of Houston, if you don't know. There were some rich kids from the Woodlands who would come down on weekends and beat up people in the Montrose area, which is the gay area of Houston. Well, anyway, the public pressure was so great that all of the young men who were charged of the Woodland Ten didn't even get a trial. In other words, they all pleaded guilty as a hate crime. The guy with the knife got 45 years in jail, which was a maximum sentence even in that time for this. They did not yet have a hate crime, but they actually passed a hate crime. The beginning of that murder was the start of looking at LGBT murders all across the country, and the heroes of young men who have been killed, young men and women, trans and gay and bisexual, who have been murdered as hate crimes. About 6 or 8 years ago, Ray Moore started working on getting this man paroled. He felt that
wow.
Well, he also felt that he had, maybe he's getting old and he feels that this, he kind of whipped up public sentiment. It was public sentiment more than the actual evidence that forced the lawyers to say, I'm not taking this to trial. They couldn't get a change of venue. Houston was so against this, these rich white kids from the suburbs that they felt they could never get a fair trial. And it was real. It's a really fascinating story. It's called Guy with a Knife. It is going. Let's see. When is that playing? I had it in front of me. There's 45 films. My notes are anyway.
Well, this time I'd like to thank the. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to. It's John. Let's see. It's playing Saturday, October 17th at 3 p.m. at the Classic Gateway Theater. It is the premiere of that down here. The buzz has been amazing. As I said, it is a beautiful film. It leaves you with this question. And this is the question I had. I took notes. I actually judged this film. The question is, how do you know what you know? How do you know what you know? You know, what makes you, what gives you information? Anyway, so let's talk about something else. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think it's good that that the people involved with MIFO are bringing this kind of true crime documentaries to us, because I think it's an underrepresented genre in gay film festivals, and it's good that they're actually taking decided to actually show this. And we should thank at this point. I'd like to take opportunity to thank friend and program director Joe Bilancio for putting together this collective body of films.
I've got a caller. Hold on. Hello how you doing? Who is this? Who do I have online here? Wait. Who do I have? Did I just say? Are you there, Ruben? You're there, right? Ruben. What did I do? Oh, there we go.
I'm here.
Okay, so hello there. How you doing?
Hello, this is Victor. How you doing?
Hey, Victor. I've got the executive director of MIFO Film on the line. Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not mad at you. Why would I be mad at you?
We brought out
He's about to get very mad because we're about to talk about the opening night film pretty soon.
Oh, okay. Well, first I'm going to have Victor introduce himself and talk a little bit about the film festival, and then we're going to get back to reviewing. Go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, well, my name is Victor Jimenez. I'm the new executive director for the film festival. I was the previous board chair. I've been involved in programming for the MIFO Film Festivals, Miami and Fort Lauderdale, for the past 3 or 4 years now. And, that's my quick introduction.
Okay, good. And
welcome, Victor.
Thank you. Congratulations. This is going to be an amazing film festival. I also want to just give you, this is amazing. 45 films, everything under the sun. I cannot think of a genre.
Nate, you're using my film festival's tagline.
Did I do something wrong? I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, I loved it. I'm so excited. I've been honored to be a judge this year, and so I've seen a ton of films, and I've had so much fun with it, and you can kind of tell from my excitement. But, Victor, tell us a little bit more about the opening night excitement.
Well, the opening night, it's next Friday, October 9th. We're going to start off. Everything's going to be at the NSU Art Museum, Fort Lauderdale. We have our filmmakers far away from 6 to 7:30. That's for our producer circle members and presenting sponsors, VIP guests, to meet with the filmmakers in attendance. It's going to be in the lobby of the museum. Then we head over at 7:30 for the screening in the auditorium at the museum. We're going to have presentations from the county, Filmmakers will be in attendance, screen the film, do a little Q&A afterwards. And then from there, we have the actual opening night party, courtesy of the Broward County CVB. Again, in the museum, the second level, there's going to be a Picasso exhibit going on, as well as some opera singers and contortionists. So we're very excited about the whole opening night event. It's a nice kickoff to Broward, to the Fort Lauderdale edition of the film festival, and we're excited. And then we're excited about everything and all the films of opening weekend, as well as the second weekend. Yes, thank you.
No, I don't know if you listened to us chattering before, but we've had a lot of fun, and I've gone over the fact that you have Asian films, a lot of women's films, documentaries, mysteries. We're almost ready to talk about the opening night film. I do want to talk about two more films first. One of them is an interesting film that I thought I knew everything about it, but I didn't. As you know, so I was the board chair of the Stonewall National Museum and Archives for 7 years, so I was kind of a history buff on LGBT history. The Seed Money, the Chuck Holmes story, the man who started. No, it's a great movie. It really is, and it's got that little funny thing that Seed Money. Anyway. Very interesting film. I think people are going to think it's just about a pornographer, but you really have to look at the common ground that pornography gave the gay community, not only in something concrete to have that was ours by ourselves, but also the financial aspect of Chuck Holmes giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, I think the film intimates over millions of dollars to political candidates all over the country. And that's the name Seed Money, kind of haha. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that is a really movie that I want people to think about. It's Saturday, October 17th, 5 p.m. at Cinema Paradiso. Okay, I'm done talking about that. Let's start talking about opening night. We heard about the contortionists, the opera singers, the fabulous things going on. But the movie.
I know, but you forgot to mention about the movie.
Yeah, here we are. We're going to talk about
well,
the movie.
Yeah, there's one thing for your description, Victor, is the movie that's showing.
Yes,
wait, say that again, Ruben? Yeah, it's this one detail you're missing about your description opening night is that there's an actual opening night movie showing.
Yes.
No, I figure we would get into the main topic. We're actually proud of Fourth Man Out. It's a nice 20 something coming of age. It's a funny movie. It's not your, I think, for lack of a better term, stereotypical gay type film. It's a guy's guy that comes out. His experience of, being with his predominantly straight friends and how he's navigating the gay world. And it's a nice character you don't often see in LGBT film festivals. And it's a type of person that, there's a lot of. And we're actually happy, we're happy to get the film. We're happy it's opening for us. And I'm curious, Ruben, to hear what you, from what Nate was intoning, you have some definite thoughts about it.
Go.
Okay.
Go
well, here's the thing. The gala spots for LGBT festivals are usually, they usually serve for what you would call crowd pleasers, And this film has won a lot of audience awards in festivals across the country. It's the best of intentions. It's got a very attractive cast. I believe it might have been shot on film. It doesn't look like video, so it really is evocative of its upstate New York setting. I think it ultimately falls victim to like a recurring trend of some of the LGBT titles in the videos this year. That's what I like to call straight hijacking. The story is basically tries to strike a balance between the gay man, the straight
friend who's a straight man who can't seem to find a good relationship with a woman, you know, and he's basically has this you know, sex buddy, and then he meets this really nice girl, but she thinks he has issues with his gay friend coming out, so it's this really interesting courtship. But the thing is, that proceeds to take, and even though the filmmaker who's like he's making his feature debut, his name is Andrew Knackman, he tries to balance the two storylines. It tilts in favor of getting more covers to the straight man. So it's, you have this very complicated relationship, but it ultimately becomes more of a straight film than a gay film. So for audiences, and I understand a lot of people love it because it's a kind of, you know, it pokes fun at gay panic. Uh-huh. from the straight character's point of view, but I think ultimately it's not as much of a gay film as he thinks it is.
Mm-hmm. The nice thing about it was that it didn't have you're not going to see any shirtless, hairless gay men with perfect abs. These are normal looking people, all four of them. So, and a lot of people will identify with it. I think, Ruben, that's what happened. That's why it's gotten the rave reviews. Part of going to the movies is, I know a lot of it is fantasy, but it's also identifying with the characters. And I think a lot of people have just identified with these four guys visually and what they do for a living and what they eat and how they speak. So I think that's the connection that the actors are having with the audience, and that's why it's been getting such great reviews.
Right. But here's the thing. It's ostensibly a film about shattering stereotypes, but then you have this obligatory montage of who's coming out and his succession of disastrous dirt.
Right.
And then you see you see every single kind of gay stereotype put in front of you for laughs, and then, you know, you think like it's not funny, it's just stereotypical, you know. So it's kind of ironic that a film that's trying to shatter stereotypes indulges in those very same stereotypes is trying to subvert.
And that's why we have film festivals, to see things that joggle our psyche and learn. I mean, I've learned a lot going to film festivals. I didn't go to any until about 8 or 10 years ago, and I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about my life. I've learned a lot, and they make you think. Some of the things Ruben just said, while they were cutting, make me want to go see the movie now. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and going back to your comment, you know. The movie does identify with people. Like, quite frankly, I identify with it a lot. I'm a guy that went to an all-boy high school. I went to college. I was in fraternity. You know, but quite frankly, until I came out, most of my friends were straight friends. And I identify a lot with the experiences. Like, well, how do I go meet a guy in the whole scenario? And I've had friends like that that's had that conversation. You know, you already got the in. You're a guy. You know what you want. And you go that route. And truthfully, I haven't really seen – I've seen a lot of gay films. You know, you don't really see that. I haven't seen many of those, of that story. And it was just done with a lot of humor and a lot of fun. And, you know, out of the park, the screening committee just loved this film. And I knew basically once they started talking about it and I saw it, as like, you know, I found my opening night film.
Okay, we have 90 seconds left. I can't believe this has been the fastest half hour of my life. No, really. There were some. I really want people to go to mifofilm.com, hit on the program, buy your ticket for the opening night, the women's night, see the talent that's coming. This is the seventh year. It's also being presented. The first weekend is down here is Fort Fabulous, our Pride Fest, our March event. Has been moved to October specifically for MIFO to kind of like boost it and then have that opening weekend. That's great. Victor, you have done an amazing job. You and your staff and your volunteers, hats off to you. MIFOfilm.com. I will see all of you at the movies. We have 20 seconds. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. And then go see Game Face and the Guy with a Knife. Exactly. Guy with a knife is my favorite doc.
Yeah, Game Face was fun, too, and Tab Hunter Confidential. I love. But, you know, I think just kind of push yourself, guys. And good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you,
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.